Welcome back to the Behind the Play podcast. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by Tara Sloan of who covers the San Jose Sharks and is also on the media side, but not in a sports way for SiriusXM. Thanks so much for taking the time and doing this. I appreciate you coming on for the second time. How's your summer going?
It's good. It's flying by. I mean, it definitely feels like hockey never stops anyway, but yeah, I can't believe we're in the dog days of summer and everything's starting to ramp up for the fall. So it's been a good little breather and time to get back at it.
What's it like for you now, kind of being in the sports realm, but also covering kind of culture and having your own? Like, how much do you feel like those two sides of you kind of interlock? And also, how much do you like just having your own different spaces to be in the sports world and then kind of in the culture and like side of things with SiriusXM?
Yeah, I mean, there's always crossover. Like I have two shows on SiriusXM. One is a pop culture panel show that it really doesn't touch on sports at all. But the other one is a women's focused show. And when our second episode ever, we had Sarah Nurse and Teresa Resch from the Toronto Tempo and Shireen Ahmed, who's an amazing sports reporter. So, I always kind of bring it into whichever world I'm inhabiting. I mean, I think sports are. I don't think it's ever been any different. They've always been so much part of the general pop culture anyway, that it always bleeds into to one another. So if you have an eye on pop culture, then you know a little bit about what's going on in sports too.
How much when you're at Sportsnet, and obviously you're still covering the NHL, covering the Sharks, but how much did you have that itch to like, this is great, like, and obviously you weave that in with your show with Ron and for a long time, but how much did you kind of have that feeling of, hey, I love the sports stories, but I also want to touch maybe some bigger things as well?
I think that was the magic of Hometown Hockey and what that show was, almost from the beginning, but really that show became what all of us who are involved in it wanted it to be, which was we wanted to focus on the communities and whatever the stories were that came out of those communities. And those stories were human, right? So we did end up tackling some pretty big topics off the top. And I think we were a trailblazing show in that way, and that a lot of our features, went to places that normal hockey features at the time wouldn't have gone. So for me, I mean, it was the perfect job because it was a marriage of hockey and, just interest in humanity. So, yeah, we were just so lucky.
What do you think you maybe learned from that experience now, where you literally have, you're more on the hockey side with the Sharks and kind of have your own two shows with, like, do you feel in many ways that show Hometown Hockey really kind of, you allowed yourself to perfect your craft a little bit in those kind of melding the two, but also kind of honing in on one at the same time?
I mean, I will never feel like I perfected my craft at ever till I'm sure
Fair enough.
till the day I die. I certainly learned a lot. I mean, I feel, very equipped to say that I understand Canada much better than I did before in a lot of ways. And in some pretty deep ways too. Like we really learned a lot about First Nations and Indigenous populations, and I think that was an education for all of us. But I think, at the end of the day, Hometown Hockey was all about people. And what I really learned was that no matter what it is, no matter what the lens is, with Hometown Hockey, it's hockey. It might be something somewhere else, but for me, that's the connection that I'm passionate about. And so I certainly learned, what it is that drives me, and it's human connection.
What do you try to do, like, with your shows to try to, like, what's your maybe prep work to try to find those human connection, those stories, like, before, a game, specifically, covering the Sharks? Like, what do you try to do to kind of get that out?
Well, it depends on the situation. For games, I mean, I have the luxury of finding, sometimes it's very game focused, the stuff that I'm doing rinkside, but also, I have the luxury of sort of plucking out other stories that just sort of enhance the game experience. So I can tell those stories. I also, I'm not very subversive about the fact that I add a lot of women's hockey content into the Sharks broadcasts. So, but when it comes to prep for, a longer form interview, I mean, I think doing someone the service of being well prepared is critical. I know what it's like to be the subject of interviews and to have somebody on the other end who, doesn't know anything about me. That happened a lot when I was in my band a million years ago. So it's the difference between, you set the tone. If I sit down and you have an album out and I'm like, so tell me about your album, as opposed to, hey man, I listened to this, like this track really spoke to me. You're already laying the groundwork for a much more honest and open conversation. I'm already closed off if somebody doesn't. So I learned that, from my own experience. And I don't know. I've tried to be really intentional about creating a space that feels warm and safe. And I don't know, it sounds like cheesy, but even if you're in a studio at Sirius XM, like you want, even there's gear everywhere and there's this, an audio engineer, but you want to kind of feel like you're the only two people on earth, or it just, so I really think it's but all that ground comes from preparation and trust.
I'm curious for you, like, because you've been in the industry for a long time, how do you f what's it like, maybe how has it evolved as being a woman in a very male-dominated space? Like, how have you seen changes? Where do you think we still need to go? What have you maybe seen, and where do you think we need to go in terms of that?
I mean, I think optically there are plenty of women, certainly doing what I do, whereas 30 years ago was not the case at all, or even 20 years ago. I still think there just needs to be, and this is everywhere, there just need to be more women at every level, on the executive level when it comes to broadcasting, in management, when it comes to hockey and sports itself. I mean, things, obviously the needle is moving, and I think the growth of women's sports are also adding a lot of jobs and opportunities and sort of opening doors where they weren't before. But when you don't have women at the table at the top, you're gonna miss a lot of things. And so while a lot of us are holding microphones, there's not enough women holding the power.
Do you feel like the rise of women's sports, it feels like the last 2, 3 years, from the WNBA to the PWHL to the FIFA Women's World Cup, like you look at the Euro soccer, like they're it's huge. Like, do you think, like, all of a sudden just women in a sense just like went around the CEOs and the board members and kind of like put it on the map just by themselves, and now people are kind of like, why do you think this happened the past 2 years, and why it didn't happen 20, 30, 40 years ago? Like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, why the tipping point now? I don't know, because I think a lot of people have been yelling and screaming from the rooftops for a long time. But yeah, I mean, I think yes, the women have done it themselves. Women have, with the PWHL, those players in the PWHPA, the union, had to make a stand and sit out of other competition and say, no, we deserve a league that's viable where we can make money. The WNBA is just like, it's just by virtue of the product being so awesome and finally reaching enough eyeballs that it just becomes this undeniable thing. And that's it. When people see it, they're like, oh, okay. And they see that people enjoy it and they see that people consume it, and then they see it makes money. And so on and on it goes.
I guess, like, what's maybe the next steps for women? So, I mean, that's such a broad question, I realize, but I'm just curious. Like, it seems like we're going on this like huge expedite. It's like expediting at this crazy rate, which is great. And how do we keep that going? Is it just kind of keep everyone, on TikTok, like make sure and you're blasting that on social media, going to games. Like there's going to be a WNBA game in Vancouver, and just like people need to keep showing out and supporting. Like, what do you think is next?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a statistician. I don't know, like I'm sure somebody who works in the academia side of this would know better, what the next steps should be. But to me, like you need to make sure, I mean, the WNBA is a more established league, but the PWHL is new still, and the Northern Super League is very new. And so the support needs to stay there, both from a, an attendance and viewership level, but also from a sponsorship level. So yeah, the excitement, once the sheen wears off, we still have to, the hard work remains.
What was it like for you? Because I saw you in Ottawa in earlier this year, and you're with a bunch of, young women who want to get into like the media world and into sports. What does that mean for you to kind of guide like the next generation forward?
I love it. I just had a meeting with a friend who kind of works in some similar spaces, and I think it's really easy to just kind of be pessimistic about the world and about broadcast industry. Like every, things are changing, things are friends, I have a lot of friends who aren't working. Like so it's really, it gives me a lot of energy to have these exchanges with these incredible young women who are, immersing themselves in sport, in leadership, who are the next generation. And it makes me feel really hopeful. I love it.
Did you have anyone, I know we spoke before, but was there anyone when you're like, obviously you were a pop star at a young age too, so I'm not trying to diminish that, and that must have been a whole other experience. But when you're starting in the media industry, were there women that kind of took you aside or kind of mentors, or did you feel like you're the lone wolf trying to kind of climb to the top?
Yeah, I mean, I had some people sort of outside, no, not women, unfortunately. Although once I got into Sportsnet, like I'm sure I've mentioned Christine Simpson before, like people, and I was lucky enough to have, Alison Redmond was the executive producer of Hometown Hockey, so and we had great women producers, so we had that support system built into Hometown Hockey, which was amazing. When I was first coming up, I mean, honestly, my biggest mentor was Michael Landsberg. He was a huge supporter. But yeah, coming up in the business, I mean, I made women friends wherever I went, but I wish that I'd had, a mentor or two, even in a formal way. And that's, that now I think more people are engaging in that. There's like women in sports and events, you can join that and actually like, be a mentee and ask for a mentor. So I think, yeah, it was a slightly different era. And I think, you are taught as a young woman that you are fighting for like one position. And so there it tends to tended, and that maybe it's, I hope it's changed, but sometimes it felt more competitive than I think it should have, as opposed to women supporting women.
Was
Truthfully.
there would there have been a credo or a message that you would have maybe wanted to hear from, another woman that just understood the plight of being a woman in media that you think might have kind of helped you through those times? And obviously you become successful as well, so everything worked out. Oh, sorry. But I'm just kind of curious for you, would there have been a message that would have maybe helped?
Yeah, I think it just would have helped to have some people raise their hands and say, like, listen, I feel like you do. Like, we're all being made to feel like we're fighting for the crumbs. I got your back. I know you got mine. There's room enough for all of us. And also, like, live your life. Don't say yes to everything because you're scared of not getting the next thing. Like really just, prioritize your life and your time. I wish somebody had said that to me, because I think I took on a lot, especially at the beginning, and it's a quick quick way to burn out.
Is that something just personally that you've learned now, after hometown hockey? I mean, you do have multiple jobs, like it's not like you're not doing a lot all the time, but is that something where you've trying to strike a balance a little bit more?
Yeah, and it's an ongoing exercise. I think, a lot of us men, women, anybody, like we've come up in this culture where like you're kind of you feel like you're gauged, or you gauge yourself by the amount of work you get done. And but really, when it comes to the balance of your life and like what creates contentment and joy, is it like when you're on your deathbed, are you gonna be like, oh, thank God I worked 60 hours a week? Or is it like, I'm glad I carved out that time for myself and my loved ones.
Is that something now, like that you look back on it? Like I always think about it in my life, it's the moments, right? Like your first, like for me, going to Jakarta, I was covering basketball, and then first time in the Sens locker room covering my childhood team. Like there's those kind of moments that are ingrained in your mind. Is that stuff that you try to kind of like take it in the moment a little bit if you're on a Sharks broadcast, and hopefully soon they're making the playoffs and you can maybe cover a game,
Wouldn't that be
but
nice?
wouldn't that be nice? But is that something that you try to hold dear maybe a bit more now in the moment?
Yeah, and I do. I think it comes with age to some extent, and hopefully people are learning it earlier than I did. I feel like I really didn't appreciate the journey of Joy Drop, which was the name of my band. I really don't think, like we had some moments. Like we had a number one video, we had a Juno nomination, we had hitting the charts, and I feel like all of us looked to the next step right away, as opposed to going like, hey man, it's pretty good. Well done. So yes, I definitely do try to soak in the moment.
I'm curious, just at someone at like such an elite level, like as a musician, like I've heard athletes talk about how, in a sense, them always going to the next challenge was what made them so successful, but also, as you said, kind of didn't let them enjoy the fruits of their labor. Do you feel that a little bit, or do you feel like you could have, taken everything in and been like, wow, number one video, Juno nomination, everything?
Yeah, I think there's a balance. Like, of course, you gotta, if you're striving to make it to the top or whatever it is, then yes, you have to keep working, and there's no let up. But I think you can soak in those moments a little bit more, just in a very humble, appreciative way.
Is there something for you, like when you're interviewing athletes specifically, but maybe even, on your shows where you're interviewing people kind of at the height of their crafts and stuff, where you have that almost ability to relate with them, where you've done something at an elite level and you're like, oh my God, okay, I can kind of get in their brain and I know what to ask and how to approach an interview.
Sometimes, but I actually think my fascination with people who I consider to be sort of elite in their craft, I find it so fascinating because I don't feel like I don't know, maybe I have
Sorry.
imposter syndrome. Maybe I feel
Yeah.
like I'm just like accidentally have been good at things.
Sure.
But, like athletes, I really don't understand like that level of discipline and being able to push through, pain and discomfort in that way. Like that doesn't compute for me. I just, but I exhausted myself in different ways. So, yeah, I mean, do I feel a commonality in terms of like working my butt off to get where I am? Yes, but I'm fascinated by everybody's journey. Like I'm just, yeah, there's such incredible people.
You didn't have some crazy superstition like the hockey players before a big gig or something like that?
Not really. I mean, I always warm singing, I always warm up, and that becomes a little, I mean, you need to anyway,
Of
right?
course, yeah.
But that becomes, these things become a bit of a superstition. Even now, like game days, I kind of have the same routine, which is ridiculous because I'm not playing. But
What's
like,
your game day routine? Do we need to go?
I go to morning skate. I mean, I usually will have written a bunch of stuff beforehand anyway. I would go to
Sure.
morning skate, write some stuff. I like to go to the gym on game day for me. And then I also like to have a nap.
Oh, okay. I
So,
thought it was like this like very regimented.
no. But I there is a little bit of something to it, like, oh God, I didn't get my work in today. Ugh. What's that gonna mean? Which is stupid.
Have you ever felt where you're on TV and you're like, oh my God, like it's not the same, like 5 minutes before I haven't got my oatmeal crunch for breakfast.
No,
There's
I don't think no, it's not been that intense, I don't think. But yeah, I've always had just, I think routine helps your brain organize a little bit.
I find I don't know if this is this I'm actually kind of curious for this as someone that, aspires to some degree be in your role, but I find exercise really clears the mind for work and for podcasting and for writing and everything. And I wonder if that's something you've noticed.
Oh
Like, you
yeah.
have a good workout before a game and you're kind of clear and easy.
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. It's very meditative for me. Yeah, I think that's a big reason. And I think it's also, but you don't want to like run a marathon either, right? Like you don't want to have like the hardest workout you've ever had on a game day either, because you don't want to be exhausted. So it's a balance, but absolutely. I think exercise for me, especially, gosh, yeah, since I had my daughter, has just become this real mental health, I'm not gonna say crutch, but like necessity.
Speaking of broadcast, and we'll go a little bit to the Sharks, but I'm curious for you, like, how do you try to get like better at your craft when you've been doing this for so long? And obviously it's a bit of a newer role and different, covering the Sharks as an analyst and pre-post game, all that stuff. Like, how do you try to get better, and are you kind of your own imposter syndrome, as you mentioned a little bit? Okay.
No, yeah. Every day I'm like, oh God, I stumbled on that one word, and then I'll, my obstacle really is just trying not to get hung up on stupid little mistakes. I don't know. I mean, you just keep learning. Like you just never rest on, like never rest on your laurels. There's always, and each. Especially when you're doing like ringside, I'm up for like 30 seconds or 45 seconds. In some ways, that's harder because I have to be like, I really want to be perfect within that 45 seconds. If I'm hosting a pregame show, then, I've got whatever, 22 minutes of TV to like make sense. Yeah, I try to fine tune like every moment, every moment.
Is that something like now in the, have your own radio show and like doing that where you have like, sure, you might screw up, but there's like this, it's 45 minutes, an hour. Do you find there's a bit of an ease when you're on that where there's not that time crunch of, as you said, like a 30 second,
Right.
snap, snap, get out? Yeah.
Yeah, because they're and well, I mean, first of all, the stuff I do on SiriusXM is pre-taped, so we can edit out things that I
Okay.
botch. But also, yeah, when you're in long-form conversation, there's time and space to for things to unfold. But when you've got 35 to 45 seconds to tell a story, you really do need to get it right within that period of time. So it's a different skill.
I find it interesting just watching a couple of kind of the clips from your Sirius shows, like how much like you kind of get out your personality and we kind of know like the real you, but also on TV you want that, but maybe not to the same degree. As is that something where you try to bring yourself out but maybe try to hold it back a little bit, or what's that dynamic like for a Sharks
I
fan?
mean, like, yes. I mean, the show I think you're referring to is this show on Sirius called No Offense, But, and that's a show where we take internet dilemmas, so like stuff from Reddit forums. We have a panel and we read the letter, and then we kind of just talk about it. So, that one's like more personality is advised, like you
Of course.
want everybody's opinions to be out in the open. And yeah, I mean, hockey, like I have a job, like I have to, I'm delivering information. I think if you watch Sharks broadcasts, you get a lot of me, especially when I do interviews, even if they're just, a few questions. But yeah, you don't, there's a line I think you have to walk, right? If you're doing the news, if you're doing sports, like you want to deliver, you have to deliver the information appropriately.
What's it like being around a team all the time and getting to know players, staff, everything, and kind of like I feel that's a bit different than what you were doing, of course, with hometown hockey. What's that maybe new challenge been like for you?
It's really fun. Yeah, I didn't have it on hometown hockey. I mean, we had our own broadcast team, but
Of course.
we were generally not anywhere near the game we were covering. So yeah, it's been a really interesting time. Obviously, the Sharks in a rebuild, and so the first season I was there,
Wasn't that the
our first two seasons I was there. Like, I mean, it's just it hasn't, it's been tough. And then last season we finished last again, but still, there's some hope. So, you start to like these players as people. You're in there, you kind of see the stuff that you don't see on TV. You kind of get an idea of their personality a little more. It feels great. It feels great to walk in that building, for me. And I know the ushers, like I know the staff. Like, it's really nice. That being said, I mean, I don't know most of the team now. So I'm going to have a lot of people to meet when I get down to San Jose in October.
I will say last year, obviously, I think the first year you got there, did they have 2 11 game losing streaks that season? It was a
Something like that. It was
long year.
crazy.
But in the NBA, they have this thing called like League Pass, and there's like a joke where they say like, what's the League Pass team of the? It's not the best team in the league, but the team you want to watch. For me, it was the San Jose Sharks last year. I just thought they were so much fun. Celebrini, Will Smith, Toffoli as that leader. It was always run and gun games. Obviously, they didn't win as much as they'd like, but I thought they were a really fun watch. How much, excitement is there in San Jose right now? Because it does feel like they're about to turn the other corner, and as you said, brought in a lot of new players as well to surround the youngsters, and got Michael Mesa at the top of the draft as well. But how exciting is it in Sharks Land?
Well, like I said, I mean, it was so dramatically different, even though we finished in the same place. The energy at the tank was just completely different, and the way that they lost games was different. The year before, they just you're just like once they're out of it, they were so out of it. This last season, like, they were in it. They were in a lot of these games. They lost a ton of games by one goal, so the fight was there. So that translated into a lot of excitement, which is, will translate into the season. So yeah, I think things are looking up. I'm sure at some point, the fans, nobody wants to finish in 32nd place for 3 years in a row.
No.
So, and at a certain point, you want to get bums in seats, you want the crowd to remain with you. So, I'm hoping for a few more wins this year. But yeah, I mean that young core is really exciting. And we haven't even seen some of these guys who I think are also going to be really, really good. So, like you say, Michael Mesa, Sam Dickinson, like, it's just there's some really cool young talent. So yeah, it'll be really interesting.
I've been joking to some of the media people here in Ottawa last year, where I'm like, Celebrini's gonna make the Canadian Olympic team next year. Like, I just thought he would play that well. What was it like? Like, what's he like being around him a little bit? It seems like he has an interesting personality. He has that kinship, of course, with Will Smith. What's he like to just be around, and what do you see kind of the next steps for him in his game as well?
I mean, he's kind of this exercise in opposites for me. Like, I mean, and again, I'm not on the plane with these guys, so
Sure.
you talk to anybody who's actually traveling with the team, they know them all much better than I do. But when you see him on the ice, you see him in the locker room, you do an interview with him. He's pretty guarded. Like, he's not, he doesn't hesitate to talk, but he's not, super engaged or verbose. A lot of guys at that age aren't anyway. But you know, he's mature, right? You don't feel like you're talking to a kid. And then you see him and Will Smith warming up for a game, kicking soccer balls and nearly missing your head and laughing like teenagers because they are teenagers. So it's just sometimes you're reminded that like, oh God, these guys are kids. These guys are actual kids. You know, I think the next steps, I mean, I think they're happening automatically with him. He's such a sponge. Anything that he's been, you know, I think he learns so quickly. He embodies things so quickly. You know, it's just gonna, he's just got to mature naturally into the leadership role that that will be, I think, naturally bestowed upon him. He's just too young, but he is a sponge. You know, I've heard nothing but that from the coaches.
Is there for next year, are you going to try to get a tag team of him and Will Smith for a duo interview with the one and only?
Oh man, that would be great. Yeah. No, I mean they're both like notoriously like whatever. They're not it's hard sometimes to interview players, right? Like those bench interviews specifically are like can be torture. But
I guess maybe some inside baseball. How do you try to liven up a bench interview? Have you figured
it's
out any secret
impossible.
sauce?
No, you have multiple questions prepared. I think that's pretty much it. But you know, I mean, again, that goes hand in hand with them knowing you, right? Like me being around the team, me being around the locker room, the more trust there is, you know, there might be, it might just be a little extra glimmer of a
Tinge.
smile or something, but that helps.
Maybe you have to get Tyler Toffoli and his wife in. Maybe that's how you
Yeah, no,
get
I
them to
think.
open up.
Absolutely. Tyler and Kat are the icebreaker in every situation.
Do you feel like a palpable kind of enlivenment a little bit from the fans? Like, do you feel like this year, like the Shark Tank is going to kind of feel what it felt like for maybe almost a decade or plus in the early and mid-aughts to the early 2010s?
I mean, you know, I wasn't around. Those are legendary times. They're mythical times. I mean, I definitely, like I said, I felt a difference between, you know, last season and the season before. So I know how loud that place can get. And, you know, as long as the team is in it, like people are there for it. It's just when you see, you know, when hope starts to slip away, it's just not that much fun. But yeah, I think that place will get back to its glory, no doubt.
How close do you think this team is to maybe pushing for the P word? I don't want to say it, but
I mean, you know, in every season preview I've read, people are ruling that out. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think stranger things have happened. I have no idea what this team is going to look like. No idea. I mean, we have an idea of the young core, but how the chemistry is going to work with these veterans, what, you know, what they're going to add. What this defensive core looks like, because we really haven't, you know, we won't have seen a lot of these guys
No.
on this team before. So, and, you know, obviously we're going to have, you know, Askarov is going to be in net probably quite a bit more than he has been. So, you know, there's just so many variables, but I don't want to write off the P word.
I honestly think if everything goes well, like they could, and Celebrini and Smith take that big jump, and maybe Misa's incredible, which he should be. It could be a fun time. I will also tell you, just being a As someone who covered Adam Gaudette, great guy,
Right.
very really good guy. I think you'll like him. So I think maybe some better, pre-post game interviews.
Thank you.
He's not too bad.
Yeah.
He's not bad. So I'll give you some
Right.
tips
Because
for
well,
that.
you guys stole Fabian Zetterlund, who was my
Exactly.
absolute favorite.
So what happened
So,
there? I want you to break it down and tell me why. No,
no.
but yeah.
I don't know.
What was he like to cover, I guess, just because I have a lot of listeners that are Sens fans. Like, what was kind of, I know, what was the player's reaction when he got traded to Ottawa, and what kind of went down there?
Shock. I mean, everybody was in absolute shock. All the media, the players. I mean, William Acklund looked like his dog had been shot. Like it was so sad. And of course, it's a business and this is how it goes. And ultimately, my career had to make the decision that he thought was best for the team. And obviously, Zetterlund's got a nice contract there in Ottawa now. He was so good in the locker room. Like, he's just such a great guy. He has, his work ethic is phenomenal. And then, just having the little tag team of Eklund and Zetterlund was so just it was so sweet. That we just all loved them as this duo, these couple single guys out on the town. So yeah, it sucked. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it was, there have been a few of those kind of gut punches, like I think when Thomas Hertl, that was one of them. But this was a big one. This was one that nobody saw coming.
Do you have a better idea of as to why he was traded, now what, 6 months later, or do you have any better
I
sense?
just think it was term. I mean, you have to measure where somebody's at in their career versus where the Sharks are at in their growth trajectory. And I think he probably wanted a longer term.
How do you
So.
think, how did Eklund kind of get over it, or did he get over it? I don't know, by the end of the season.
I
Obviously, in the
mean,
moment, he was pretty distraught, but
it took him a bit. Yeah. I'll just say it definitely took him a bit. Like, he didn't want to talk to the media for a little while. And yeah, I'm at the like first of all, they hang out in the summer, so they get to see each other.
They're
So,
really nice.
they're getting their fill right now, probably. But yeah, it's just hard, but I think it's just one of those learning experiences. At the end of the day, they both play in the NHL. They're both really good players and can make an impact where they are. So they understand that. But yeah, it was sad. And I know, Zetterlund maybe didn't wear his heart on his sleeve to the same extent, but
Sure. Oh no, you could
yeah,
tell
it was hard.
it was a culture. You talked about it to us, how much of a shock it was, and he lived with Tim Stützle, and I think that kind of helped him come closer together with the rest of his teammates and everything. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting time for the San Jose Sharks. Is there anything else before I let you go, and thanks so much for doing this, that you want to kind of plug, or anything coming up that people should keep their eyes and ears out for?
No, just watch out. Watch out for the Sharkies, babies.
Do you feel like you have to like try not to put on like a full Homer hat, or do you feel like you're like almost right there?
No, I think I'm allowed to be kind of more of a homer because I'm not an analyst, right? I think if I was doing color commentary, those guys are always having to walk that line. No, for me, I can be a fan.
There you go. There you go. So hopefully we have a playoff run in the mix for the Sharks go deep, and it'll be like the early aughts. So thanks so much for taking the time, and you're always so thoughtful and smart, and I always appreciate you coming on the show. And good luck next year, and hope to see you in Ottawa again if things come around that way.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. You too. Yeah, this was a great chat.